Well, thanks ever so much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10. I'm Jonathan Armstrong. I'm speaking to you from London, and Eric, you're joining in from sunny California.
Well, not so sunny. This is Eric Sinrod, Jonathan's partner in IT. Looking out over the San Francisco Bay, and it's rather foggy, as it was last night when I watched our San Francisco Giants go down and defeat in the freezing cold, but be that as may.
And you've been thinking of other sporting stuff as well with the Olympics, which are coming to a town near me soon. What's on your mind on that?
That's true. Much fun and games and merriment for you to have the London Olympics starting there in just about a couple months. But, you know, amidst all the excitement and pageantry, is it fair to say there might be some growing concern with respect to congestion and IT challenges? And it occurs to me, you know, having lived in London myself once upon a time and going there to visit, we all know it's a densely populated urban center, and it might really feel the immense weight of the influx of so many people coming to be part of the Olympic Games. And so many aspects of usual daily life, most notably transportation, should be impacted by the surge of additional visitors moving in and about London to be part of the Olympics. So as a consequence, I'm just wondering, Jonathan, are a number of companies there, you know, rolling out, you know, remote working plans so that perhaps employees can work away from their usual London offices and maybe even away from their outlying London offices just to avoid the stress of Olympic activities and traffic? And if they're doing that, you know, what are they doing to, you know, make this really work for their employees? Are they putting in place, you know, additional lines that will be open for communications? Are they going to utilize software conferencing techniques such as Cisco's WebEx? And then if all of that is happening, you know, are there any concerns that you perceive, Jonathan, in terms of security issues? So let me turn it back to you.
No, I think it's a very good point. I started working for a client on this in January, so I've been involved in their contingency planning throughout, and it's been a very interesting task. I think the role for many general counsel, corporate counsel, and technologists is holistic. I mean, that's generally what we're good at. We're good at standing back and taking a sort of dispassionate view. And I've very much enjoyed being engaged with clients and doing this. I think it's fair to say that transport was never a strength of the London bid. It was one of the most poorly scoring elements in the IOC's initial evaluation, but it's fair to say that London has made great strides since 2005. And I think for most businesses that are coming over, I mean, given this isn't a London problem, you know, the Olympics is a world event and people from all over the world will be there. I think for quite a lot of businesses, the answer is to think laterally, and it is in looking at alternative methods of public transport. I was talking to some people at the Perfect Information Conference last week. Thanks to all of you who listen, who said kind things about the podcast at that conference, by the way. And we have some pink bowler-hatted guides that are going to be encouraging people to walk around London. We have these things called the Boris Bikes, a public bike system, so that people can pedal around London. So all of those will help alleviate some of the transport issues. But bear in mind, I think you're absolutely right. Home working is part of the answer, but security is not guaranteed there. You might want to tell employees what they can and cannot do. You know, it's very different, for example, doing banking transactions over a secured network in the office versus doing them on a home Wi-Fi. I think bandwidth additionally will be an issue. It's really the first iPad Olympics, and that will have all sorts of bandwidth allocations. You know, even in Shanghai, if I sat and watched an event, I had to go back to my hotel room and watch the replay. We forget, really, how much has changed in 4 years. There will be people at the event watching the 100-meter final and then sitting down with their iPads in the stand and trying to watch the replay, particularly if it's a tight finish. They won't be relying on the big screens. They'll be relying on the devices that they brought with them on their pocket, in their pockets. We also have Special Olympics rules on things like promotion, competitions. We've seen the first investigations in Derby, close to where I live, of people who were meant to be or allegedly piggybacking on the Olympics to promote their own events. And obviously, as in every other Olympic city in the recent past, we have specific legislation which deals with the references that you can and cannot make to the Olympics to protect the role of sponsors. But I think, the issues are many and varied. I think the key will be flexibility for most employers, whether that be in, you know, allowing home working, whether that be in allowing more access to social media so that people can plan their travel home, whether that be in terms of, making sure that employees are educated in what they can and cannot say so as not to offend the Olympics rules. And then the final thing I would mention is for anybody who is coming into the UK for the events, don't forget that our bribery laws were toughened up last year. It isn't better to give than to receive under our bribery legislation. If you receive hospitality at the Olympics and it's lavish, you could be committing an offence. The maximum prison term is 10 years. I know that a number of people in the technology space have concerns, and I know that a number of organisations are telling employees not to visit the Olympics or be very careful if they're somebody else's guest, but do have that weather eye out for these offences, because there's certainly some pressure group interest in who's coming along to the Olympics at somebody else's expense. Yeah. So I think there is a need to plan holistically. Eric?
Yes, and there's so many other issues, too. I mean, apart from the employee-employer context, you know, you mentioned Wi-Fi. I mean, so many people will be connected online via Wi-Fi, but as we know, hotspots are not terribly secure, so they might want to be careful in terms of not communicating confidential or sensitive information. And also, I don't want to be too pessimistic or worried, but we might recall what happened at the Atlanta Olympics we had some time ago where there was an actual bombing. Well, I'm not thinking about that, but, you know, what if we see some distributed denial of service attacks? This is a worldwide spectacle, and, you know, if somebody can perpetrate these types of attacks and bring down prominent websites relating to the Olympics, it's going to attract a lot of attention. So hopefully measures are being taken by those in a position to do so to protect everyone on the IT front. And I think we've only touched on just a few examples of issues to be dealt with. Hopefully this will go as seamlessly and smoothly as possible, and the Olympics will be a tremendously wonderful experience globally. So on that note, go ahead.
All I would say is I think you're right. I know some of the people involved in looking at the security aspects and looking at the IT aspects, clever people at the top of their game, and London is prepared. And I suppose on a positive note, the world's a different place than it was from when we bid. I mean, you'll remember that the terrorist attacks in London were the day after London was successful. We're as prepared as we can be, I think. Those of you who are coming, enjoy the games, but do plan ahead. I think that's got to be the message.
Very good. All right, well, listen, thanks, everyone, for joining us on this weekly Tech Law 10. We're all looking forward anxiously to the Olympics, but we'll have more of our podcast before then. I'm Eric Sinrod in San Francisco, ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. As we've told you in the past, we can be found on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Jonathan, why don't you carry us home?
Yes, I'm jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. We do thank you all for listening. I also had some very kind comments. I was up in Sweden this week, so thanks ever so much. Nice to know that you're listening there as well. We do appreciate you spending time with us. We'd award you all a gold medal if we could. And do tune in next week. Thanks again for listening.
Talk, talk.